We're sitting down with Mike Schmidt, Multnomah County District Attorney. Mike, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Nat.
Protests against police brutality have been ongoing in Portland for the past 2.5 months. Last week, you announced that you'll be dropping some of the charges against protesters, and that includes interfering with a peace officer and disorderly conduct. Talk a little about this policy and how it came to be.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I've been watching the protests go on since they started. And, you know, some of the things that struck me was the very, serious and righteous pain and hurt that we're seeing being expressed by members of the community in response to decades of Black and brown people and their treatment in the criminal justice system. And so what I wanted to do was craft a policy that would allow space for people to be heard, that would err on the side of not chilling or silencing speech, but also that recognizes that property damage is not okay, that hurting people, violence is not okay towards anybody, towards other protesters, towards police officers. And so we really tried to craft a very thoughtful policy that I think achieves those goals of making sure that people have space to be heard, but at the same time is very clear that you cannot destroy or destroy property or hurt other people.
Shortly after you took office earlier this month, you received some feedback from Portland Police Association President Daryl Turner, who said your platform calling for police accountability is a, quote, veiled threat to indict police officers. What is your response to that?
It's certainly not a veiled threat to say that I am going to apply the law. And, you know, I was clear throughout the campaign that that would be my lens, that where anybody breaks the law, police officers or members of the community, that nobody is above that. And so it's not a veiled threat to say that I'm going to apply the law. And even when that is, as it pertains to police officer conduct. So, I think I'm not making threats. I'm just pledging to do the job.
I wanted to talk a bit about restorative justice, something we discussed a little last time we spoke. Can you briefly explain what it is and how you feel it could help our community?
Yeah, at its root and in the title, restore and restorative justice, really, I think, says that what we need to do is try to get at what is the harm that is caused and how do we fix it? And there's kind of two things. There's one, which is who was the harm caused to and what do they need to heal? And sometimes that's an individual, sometimes that's a community. And then the other component of restorative justice is accountability. And I think sometimes people conflate accountability with punishment. And those two things should be kept separately. Accountability means taking responsibility for one's actions. And so people need to be held accountable for their actions. And we need to tailor and try to incorporate what it is that victims tell us that they need to heal. And just like any other group of people, victims are not a monolithic group. They do not need one thing. Some victims of crime might feel like they want punishment and see people, incarcerated, while others who would be victims of the exact same crimes might feel differently, that they want a treatment response or some sort of a community service response. It's important that we create space for all victims of crime and really talk to them and see what it is that they need to heal, and then ensure that the person who did the harm is accountable. And so when we see restorative justice implemented in places, in parts of the country where it has been, we see a higher satisfaction from victims of crime in terms of how they feel the system dealt with them. And we also see better results in terms of people who are the people who perpetrated the crime are less likely to reoffend in the future when they have to take true accountability.
There are a couple cases against protesters that originated in your office and have now been taken up in federal court. And from what I understand, the federal response to this is that Portland and Multnomah County are recipients of federal aid, like COVID funding. And so the government believes it has grounds to prosecute those crimes committed on county or city property. So first, am I understanding that correctly? And second, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I've heard that justification. It was my understanding, and I wasn't the DA when those cases were discussed between this office and the federal government. And so that was they came to that agreement. And so I wasn't privy to the conversation, but it's my understanding that the reason that it made sense for the federal government to go forward in that case was not just the loose theory that the federal government gives us federal aid and therefore they have jurisdiction over anything that happens in our community, but it was specifically that the Justice Center houses people who are currently being held on federal charges, and so a threat to that building was very much a threat to the people that that they are in charge of their care and custody. So I think my understanding is that was the closer connection as to why they are taking to those cases.
I wanted to ask, do you think your time as a teacher has influenced your perspective on what's happening with young people seeking to change the system in Portland?
Yeah, I think like anybody else, we are the culmination and the accumulation of our experiences. And one of the ones that has had the biggest impact on me has been my time teaching in high school in New Orleans. And, I remember seeing through my students' eyes the hopelessness that they saw for their future. And that hopelessness was a product of their perception that they didn't have a future, an economic future, where they didn't see jobs for them, that they didn't see paths to higher learning, to education that they could attain, that they saw the criminal justice system as a barrier and as an impediment that was trying to prevent them from succeeding as opposed to protect them. So when I hear people in our community at these protests saying some of the very same things that our healthcare system has not treated people equally. Our education system has failed communities of color. Our criminal justice system has created disparate treatments and has injured and hurt and in some situations killed people in Black and brown community. I do hear echoes of some of the very same things that my students that I heard from them over 15 years ago. So it certainly has had an impact on my perception. And I think it's a really important conversation that is being had right now, and I hope that everybody's listening.
You ran on a platform that Portland's criminal justice system needs reform. So we've talked about the protests. Can you talk about any other reform you'd like to see happen in Multnomah County?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about restorative justice. I think people are hungry for resolutions to conduct in the community that are alternative to the criminal justice system. I've heard from victims of crime that they won't even call the police because they are not interested in accessing what this system has to offer. Well, that makes all of us less safe. When people don't call the police or don't access the criminal justice system and decide they rather have no response at all than what is being offered, that leaves our community vulnerable to the person who created that harm to do that to somebody else. So, restorative justice, I think, holds a lot of promise. Throughout the campaign, I talked about equity issues. And one of the big ones that I see is cash bail. The fact that people will be held pre-trial before they're convicted of anything based on whether or not they have money to bail out. And I just think fundamentally that's an inequitable system, that we need to be basing our decisions to hold people in custody on whether or not they are truly a danger to the community, they present a risk if they were to be released, and if they will show up again. Otherwise, how much money they have, I think, should be irrelevant to that consideration. So I've advocated for cash bail, and I'll be looking at this office's policies in regards to advocating for judges to impose bail. So Some of it's law and statutory, so you know we'll be limited in what we can do, but some things we can change. And then, you know, I've talked about mandatory sentencing, mandatory minimums that have shifted the power to decide the sentence away from judges and to prosecutors. And I think that one size fits all sentencing just doesn't make sense, that we need to be looking at people as individuals and tailoring our sentencing recommendations to, you know, the circumstances that are in front of a judge, and let the prosecutors argue for the sentences they want, the defense attorneys to argue, and for victims' voices to be heard, and let judges who are elected make those decisions. So those are just some of the things that I think that I know that I will continue to work on and raise voice to, and hopefully we can see some changes.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Do you have time for one more question?
I do.
Okay, perfect. In a Reddit AMA before the election, you answered a question about far-right extremism. You wrote, quote, "When groups from out of town, like the Proud Boys, come to intimidate our citizens, we need to call it out for what it is and make it uncomfortable for them to be here. Violence in our streets is not acceptable." On Saturday, a small group of far-right protesters were captured on video using bear mace and paintball guns on counter-protesters. Police said they were aware of the incident, but still no officers were present and no arrests have been made. That seems like a biased response given the heavy police presence throughout the protests against police brutality over the last 2.5 months. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I'm concerned anytime that there is violence in our streets from protesters, where bear mace is being used, where other violence is being used. You know, I hope that that is investigated. This office is, of course, limited into what we can pursue based on the evidence that we receive and the investigations that are done. So, you know, my hope is, and I have not spoken with PPB about this, I know that, you know, their resources are strained and limited. I hope that those allegations get investigated and that those that evidence is presented to my office for us to be able to make charges, because fundamentally, we need to keep everybody safe, and any kind of violence in the street is not acceptable.
Mike, we really appreciate the incredibly important work you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nat.